This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekness starts in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Hey, have you guys taken a look around the bus?
I don't know. Something seems
weird. Did you hear somebody rattling in the kitchen?
I did. In the galley?
Yeah.
Did you guys bring, like, strange food on board?
Did somebody's cat sneak in?
Grumpy cat, I think.
Yeah, I'm still in the bus.
Oh no!
Yeah. Wade's still here.
And it's French invasion.
Yes, and I brought baguette and cheese. That's probably what smells.
You couldn't bring any wine? Jeez.
Well, I drank the wine getting here. That was a long trip.
Well, go back out, get some more wine, and come back in.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay, in the meantime, welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., podcast number 49, covering Marvel, 75 years from pulp to pop. This podcast is recorded on Saturday, November 8th, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel universe.
Because when 75 years old you reach, look as good you will not.
If you'd like to talk to us about how good you will look, you can find all of our contact information on legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line you can call, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search for Gunna Geek, one word, on the Tapatalk app. And now, we also have a YouTube channel, which you can also find by searching Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's brand new, folks. Got a Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. channel out there on YouTube, so you can listen to the podcast. We're not going to put any videos on there. Well, actually, they are videos, but they'll just be the audio of the podcast with our little Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. shield on the screen. So don't think you're going to see anything cool, but you'll hear.
It's still got that new YouTube channel smell, though.
It does. It's
pretty fancy.
It does. And, you know, the shield is pretty cool, too, because, you know, Haley got mad after work today, and she broke all the shields in the windows in the podcast room.
Things break sometimes. It's an imperfect world.
All righty. And again, thank you very much for all the glorious, wonderful feedback that we are getting. Keep it coming, guys. We love the conversations that we have with you. To start out with, Mr. Paracletes on Twitter said, "I'm not convinced the play with Ward is everything it seems. I wonder if Coulson planned his break."
Maybe.
We don't know.
We kind of talked about that last week, and it doesn't seem Coulson-y.
I mean, on the one hand, Coulson does have to be kind of twisty nowadays. And on the other, he really hates Ward. So it's kind of like a 50-50 shot, I'd say.
On the other end, Ward says he never lied to Sky. So when he seems really threatened when they took him away to go to his brother.
Yeah, he says he never lied to her after lying to her for a year.
Yeah, okay. Good point.
Never trust a liar.
Yep, not going to trust him. At all.
Come on, he has a beard.
His beard of evil.
I have a beard.
Yes, your beard.
Is it a beard of evil?
I don't know. What makes it a beard of evil?
Well, do you do evil things?
Sometimes.
Do you stroke it menacingly?
Sometimes in meetings, yeah. I make sure.
Okay, it very well could be a beard of evil.
Okay, there you go.
I'm getting a goatee of evil right now. I want to be evil version of myself for Christmas.
With the No Shave November?
Yeah, actually, I had the movie shoot I had to shave. I was like, oh, I'm missing 5 days, but I'm going strong from now on.
Are you concentrating really hard and bearing down? Go, grow the whiskers.
Every morning for half an hour and every time I go to sleep for an hour. Yeah.
Grow those hairs. Grow!
The problem is that they grow everywhere.
Ew.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Moving on. Andy also sent us a tweet. He said, "Also, Nick Disco Blood is owning Lance Hunter more and more."
I like that Twitter name.
Definitely.
Yep, I'm liking it. I'm liking his relationship with Bobby, too. And
yes, you
know, maybe someday he'll become a full S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
He is growing on me. I will have to admit that. I may have to eat my words regarding how much I really didn't like him at the beginning of the season.
You were just mad because Lucy Lawless had to die for him to be here.
That, too. I will never be over that.
I don't think any of us will be. I mean, she's her being gone, that's just wrong.
Not cool, Whedon's. Cool.
She's comic book gone. Come on.
It's stupid, 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 stupid.
People and come me. Back from the dead anyway, so come on.
Jeff Loeb, do you hear me? It's stupid, 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 stupid. Come on, buddy. Make it right. Make it right. Also, our next tweet that we received in wasn't really a feedback, but I have to call it out anyway. This is our first podcast after Halloween. And if you haven't seen it already, go to @SithWitch's feed to October 31st, and you will find a tweet that says S.H.I.E.L.D. Maiden reporting in, and you will see one of the most awesome pictures I've ever seen.
It's worth the detour. It's really worth the detour.
It's my emergency Halloween costume / Ren Faire outfit / last minute con costume if my other con costumes don't pull through.
This is good enough. A S.H.I.E.L.D. maiden with the chainmail and the shield with the S.H.I.E.L.D. symbol on it, like a Viking shield with the Marvel S.H.I.E.L.D. on it. It's awesome.
Again, I got the idea from a comment. I was going to dress up as sexy Thangorodrim from The Silmarillion.
Oh, I'm good with that.
But the S.H.I.E.L.D. maiden, I think, worked out a lot better.
It was awesome.
I didn't have to like find a Barbie to hang around my neck.
So I went in one of my geeky jerseys with my Rogue Squadron geeky jersey. I went out there to work and nobody got it. They thought it was like, oh, what football team is that? I'm like, really? Are you serious? This looks like an X-Wing pilot. And really, whatever. Exactly.
I work in a corporate environment, so we need to be really careful.
Yeah, but your costume is ingenious, though.
Yeah, well, I have a pair of glasses, like, how do you call that, Wayfarer, without the frame in it, and I have a Superman shirt, so I just untie my tie a little bit, because I need to keep the suit and the tie, and undo one or two buttons, and put the glasses for the day, and it works.
Very nice.
And you wear a white shirt, so you can see the Superman thing
yeah,
underneath.
Yeah, you see the blue underneath.
Yeah, it's amazing. Awesome. It's awesome.
I approve.
So, yeah, I can slip that in every year. And at this point, people are waiting for it. So it's kind of nice.
Haley, did you have a chance to dress up at all this year?
No, we didn't even have candy for the trick-or-treaters. That's how terrible we were at Halloween this year.
Did you have to shut off your lights?
It's funny because we kept telling my brother to turn off the light, but he had it turned on because he was taking stuff out to his truck. So we kept getting these little disappointed children at our door.
You gave her so sad. Give them pizza or something.
It's like, I've got some cider. You want some of that?
I want a beer.
Did you guys get TP at later?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
When I was little, we used to go to the drug dealers' houses in the back of our housing place because they had all the best candy.
Of course no they did. Shit. I also money. I bet they had full-size candy bars, didn't they?
They did. It was amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God.
There were only like two houses in our hometown that did full-size candy bars. And everyone knew everyone, so it's not like you could hit them up more than once.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is freaky.
God, I love Halloween. Best holiday.
All right, moving on. As yes, best please. As I can.
Okay. Yeah, but I love the next one. I really love
it. @Adana Girl tweeted us, and she said, "The Texas election results are so depressing. I am going to watch Thor."
Yeah, I don't agree. Blame you. You made the better decision there, because I was watching the Marvel thing, and they kept running the election results in real time at the bottom. And everybody that I had voted for was not getting elected, so I was very upset and trying not to pay attention because...
You should have taped a pillowcase over the bottom part of your screen or something.
I should have, and the whole time I'm watching with Scott, and Scott's like, who's that? And I'm like, I'm not sure because the part of the screen where they say who people are, they're running election information over it.
Yeah, I had to do Google searches for their faces to do that. And we could get to that later. But it was not cool.
There was a bunch of people. I'm like, I know who they are, but I recognize them from like 10 years ago. So I can't tell you now.
I actually have a list.
You mean you didn't know Ralph Macchio as a Marvel editor?
Okay, so I do know that there is a Marvel editor named Ralph Macchio. And Scott was like, it's not the Ralph Macchio, is it? I'm like, I'm pretty sure not. So I had to double check and no, it is not the Ralph Macchio.
I have a list, and I actually, everybody that spoke, I counted it all up. And we could talk about it later, but the number is 39. They had 39 different speakers during that entire time.
I'm so happy I'm in Canada this week.
What are you talking about, Wing?
I don't like elections.
Oh, you have elections in Canada this week? Is that what's
no,
going on?
I say no, I'm don't. Happy I'm Scott in Canada.
Okay.
Come yeah, on. You're lucky. It was a pretty miserable week.
Well, and the month leading up to that week is always terrible.
I don't know. The Canadian dollar went up after your election, so I was happy about that.
Oh, good for you.
Okay, moving on. So Mike at Jarek, one of our friends of many Gunna Geek podcasts, said, I finally caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. today, so now I can join the fun with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, and we are so glad to have you with us.
Yes, hi. Thank you.
Yes, we are.
Yay.
And then also friend of the cast, Richard at Kodiak GWC tweeted us, and he asked, what is the topic this week? Hopefully it won't be about the 75th special.
Sorry, man.
Sorry.
It ensued a very long conversation, which operator chimed in and he was helping. And we were like, okay, what's going on? So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we actually came to an understanding at the end of it. And then the operator talking about the Marvel 75th tweeted us and he said, kid threw up reading a comic.
Yeah. That was my reaction.
David, I can't believe. I wonder if that kid is still alive today. I would love to see him and find out how his life has turned out.
He's still hanging his head in shame.
Poor little David.
I would also like to run into that kid wearing glasses that was interviewed by the news and about, what are you going to do with all these comics? Oh, I'm going to keep them in case they get expensive and...
I started laughing there.
Yeah, but this guy was right. He was in the good years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's exactly the year to be hoarding comic books.
Yep. Not now.
Nope.
We got a couple of hitbacks on Facebook. Sean Morris, he hit us back when I put on Facebook a news story about, hey, what happened to that untitled Marvel movie in, I believe it was 2017. Can't remember exactly right now. And basically,
I think they just moved one of the dates in that year, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did, because they were at a bad spot during the year and they're trying to claim certain time of the year for Marvel movies. So they just mixed it up a little.
Yep. And also Richard Levington said, May can't get here fast enough, and my opinion might be change regarding the Civil War. So yeah, May can't get here fast enough. As far as I'm concerned, that'll be an awesome month and Civil War will be cool. As we discussed, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the Civil War that we all know because, well, we don't have Wolverine or Spidey yet, but we'll see what turns out there.
Right. It's looking like the impetus is going to be completely different.
Yeah, true. But it's going to be the Stanley Cup final as well. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah, I can't wait for May.
Isn't the Stanley Cup final usually in June, though?
May, June. You know, at this point, there's sun outside and there's no snow. It's not all the same.
Yep. Okay. So we got a voicemail this week, you ladies, and I guess all ladies. Are you ladies ready to hear this?
Yay! Yeah.
Fight, fight.
Hey, agents. This is Adam. Just calling with some interesting speculation I saw online. I was looking at some preview stuff for the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic that starts at the end of the year that's bringing at least May and Fitzsimmons into the main comic continuity, and people are saying, oh, if they haven't brought in Sky and Ward, maybe they're already characters in there, and speculated that Ward could be someone like Taskmaster or something like that, which I think, honestly, I think that could work. Do you have any ideas for how they could make Sky or Ward characters that already are in the comics? Can't wait to hear what you think. Bye.
Ward is Bob, Agent of Hydra.
Well, what could Sky be?
She's an Inhuman.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if they bring Sky into the comics, it won't be until after they do whatever big reveal they're going to do with her on the show.
Well, I think Adam's question is if there is already an existing character in the comics, which these two people could be.
Right. He mentioned Taskmaster, and I remember way back in season one, there was a line in the very first episode where they said Ward is too fit. And he started to say, yeah, maybe that's the reason why I shouldn't be on this team. Even back then, they were saying that he might be the son of Taskmaster or the grandson of Taskmaster or something like that.
That would be cool.
So this is not the first time Taskmaster and Ward have been thrown together in the same sentence.
That'd be kind of cool if he did have some kind of relationship with Taskmaster.
Any theories on Sky? Maybe an existing Inhuman, I guess?
I don't know enough of the Inhumans to say for sure.
Yeah, I did try to dig around a little bit about the Inhumans to see who she could be, and I don't know. I'm still convinced she's an Inhuman.
Yes.
Yeah, because anyway, if you get in contact with the Terrigen Mist or something like that, which seemed to have been replaced by the Obelisk in this, it can do these things to you, so...
I'm really starting to think that Sky's dad is Black Bolt's brother, Maximus the Mad.
Yeah, me too.
You brought it up, and it does make a lot of sense.
Could it be in the movie, though? Is he movie-caliber actor?
Yes.
Kyle MacLachlan, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen
him. Yeah, especially for an ensemble cast.
And what else do I have seen this guy?
Yeah, Blue Velvet, Twin Peaks, Dune. Oh.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I just
played Showgirls.
Yeah, no, God, no, please, no.
Oh, come on. You don't want to see what's her name from Saved by the Bell having sex with him, like some kind of fish having a seizure?
Well, I can watch that part, but I don't want to watch the 3 hours leading up to that.
That movie was so ridiculous. It's hilarious.
Well, Verhoeven for you there. You haven't seen it, Ailey, eh?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you're missing out. It's great.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Ridiculous.
It's going to go right at the top of the list.
Uh-huh. Just right next to Top Gun and Skyfall. And what was the other one?
You mean the...
Starman was mentioned recently. I feel like there are a lot of others.
Yeah.
There are a lot of others.
Have you seen
They're adding
game?
To it on Crimson Comet, too. They, like, every week. It's like, dude. Oh, this week it was Highlander that I haven't seen.
You haven't really? Seen Highlander?
I can't remember if I've seen the first Highlander movie or not. I've seen at least one Highlander movie, but I'm pretty sure it was not the first one.
The first one is the best with Sean Connery.
You know what? I'm positive it wasn't the first one because Sean Connery was not in this movie.
Suspicious accent.
You probably saw the third one because the third one was...
Did you say third one?
Third one, yeah. But yeah, it is a third, so it's okay. Yeah. You haven't seen Highlander? Oh my God.
I will highly, highly recommend Highlander.
It's
on the list.
Queen does the soundtrack.
I know. John O'Lobster sang me some excerpts.
Out of all of the movies that we have discovered that you haven't seen yet, I would put Highlander as number one.
Dude, I'm working on it.
All right. And thank you very much to Adam. That was a very, very good question. So, hey,
feel free
to call us in with any questions like that, like Science of Marvel questions or questions about comics and the Marvel whatever, either the TV shows or the movies or whatever. And just go ahead, give us a call at
844-843-2871.
Or 844 the bus one. That is toll free and international toll free.
Adam should go by Black Adam at this point. Come on, more power to him. Power. More power to you, sir.
Power.
Go for it, nice. Next call. Go for it, next call.
Okay, even though we're recording like the next weekend because we've had some difficulties this week, we have numbers from Guardians of the Galaxy from last week.
Right. These numbers were, well, the Chinese numbers at least were last updated November 2nd. But the most latest numbers we have access to put the domestic box office for Guardians of the Galaxy at $329.6 million, which is a little bit up from last week, like $1 million more. Woot.
Woot.
And the worldwide box office is at $765 million now. The Chinese box office contributed $94.9 million to that. But again, that doesn't have like a week worth of numbers in there.
Yeah, but it's still below 100. And it's been a couple of weeks that you're like, oh, it's going to go over 100 next week. Oh, it's going to go over 100 next week.
It is going to go over 100.
Yeah, but it's not going to go over 150. I think we're all screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid Wing in his stupid late bed.
He cheated. Cheated. Cheater.
Well, I still didn't believe it would make that much in China because no giant robot. Or not. I mean, that's it. You need giant robot.
There was a giant robot in this. It's just it was kind of already dead and you only saw its head.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to give it to you, but doesn't have the same appeal.
Right. Somebody should have told them that there is a giant robot in this. Pay attention, China.
Poor marketing, you're saying.
Yes.
And once again, we have somebody that would like to be employed by Marvel, and her name is Haley. Please give her a call.
I'm available immediately.
So I also took a look at just the overnight ratings from the 75 years from Pulp to Pop. Turns out it got a 3.41 overnight. I'm sure that would increase a little bit. I'm not sure how much. And I'll have to take a look at that for next week. But that is down about a point from where the regular time slot is for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So still not bad for election night. So we do have some news to get through first, and first of all, we have a lot of interesting news about Agent Carter.
Yeah, Peggy Carter is going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
Woot!
It's looking like another flashback.
Woohoo!
Woot!
Woot! Yeah, seeing her in bed is just going to be depressing, though, if we do that.
You don't want to see old Peggy Carter?
I don't want to see old Peggy Carter losing her memory.
Yeah, dude. Don't bring that up. That's depressing.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Right. But she's going to be in the November 18th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is BT Dubs, like a week from now.
Oh, I thought that was going to be the title. I'm like, that is a terrible title.
The November 18th episode.
Yeah, that'll be awesome to see her again. And she had to have been just starting filming her TV show at that point in time. So I wonder if she hit Clark Gregg. That'd be cool.
Oh, you know, she just like beat her way through the entire cast.
Her and Ming-Na Wen.
Maybe she hit Grant Ward. Oh.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Nail Hydra.
Nail Hydra. The rallying cry of fans everywhere.
Yeah. We also have two new Peggy Carter cast members.
Yes, we do. First of all, Bridget Reagan joined Peggy Carter. She's going to be playing Peggy's neighbor, Dottie, a small town girl from Iowa who will have a huge impact on the life of Agent Carter. Bridget Reagan was recently seen on White Collar, John Wick, and Jane the Virgin.
Is Bridget Reagan the girl that was in Legend of the Seeker?
You know, I don't know, but she just kind of looked like her.
That is her. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Cool. And also, Costa Ronan, who had a role on The Americans, which is, by the way, a great show.
Oh, I love that show.
Will join the cast, I know, and it's coming back soon. Will join the cast of Agent Carter in, should we say what this role is?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, well, he's cast as a familiar Marvel Cinematic Universe villain's father. So do we say who the role is?
Yes.
I say, yeah, go for it.
Yep.
As Anton Vanko.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, that's a perfect role for him.
Right?
Yeah, especially the way he plays, what's his name, on The Americans.
I can't remember his character's name.
It's really Russian. I don't remember.
Right. He's the science technical advisor in the Soviet Union embassy in Washington, D.C. in The Americans, and plays a wonderful character. Very devious, too, by the way.
Yes.
And so, yeah, deliciously good and evil at the same time, and he will bring some great stuff to Agent Carter.
You know what is impressive with the Marvel Universe, and I don't know if that was by design or it happened by accident. I tend to think it happened kind of by accident, but they were able to build all of that backstory, all of that flashback from Captain America, and then by putting like the sins of the father in Iron Man 2, build all of that too. So at this point, they have two different era in which they can go back and forth really, really well and have these developing character, have these kind of prequel stories, if you want, because we know where it's going ultimately, but it's working so well.
If they want to have a middle ground, I mean, they have later in life, Howard Stark cast with, what's his name? John Slattery from Mad Men?
Yeah.
So if we ever want to see Winter Soldier kill him,
yeah, and that brings me to the next news point is that Peggy Carter will be an Ant-Man with a young Hank Pym, which is played by Michael Douglas. So that's going to be interesting.
It will. You brought it up. I'm just salivating over how well this universe has been constructed. And in between the MCU and the TV universe and the Netflix universe, whatever you want, if you want to call it TV or not, whatever. But it's all really connected. And they talk about it in the 75-year Pulp to Pop at the end where they're talking about, I guess we'll get to that later, but they do talk about it. And it's awesome how they're able to pull it together. Also, talking about other movies, we got a little spoiler, I guess. Loki and Heimdall.
Somebody got an angry email.
Yeah. Yeah, Loki and Heimdall will be in Avengers 2.
Woot!
Yay!
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Well, Scott and I were talking about this after it was announced, because Heimdall is one of his favorite Norse gods. We're going to play this game of Sion, which is a game where you play the child of a god of some pantheon or other. And he was going to play as Sion of Heimdall. And plus him being Idris Elba on the movie, come on, you gotta love him. But Heimdall, who is, you know, the all-seeing, all-hearing, if anybody is going to know that Loki took over for Odin and is impersonating him, it's going to be him. So really what we're thinking, him especially, but, you know, we were throwing around the idea afterwards, was they've got to at least address that Heimdall probably knows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's the one who, for those of us not initiated in the comics, he's the one who smelled out, basically, the cloaked ships coming in to attack Asgard.
It's because he sees beyond seeing, because he's technically blind, but in the comic, but in the movie, I'm not sure.
In Norse mythology, Heimdall is like the watcher of everything. He sees everything, knows everything that's going on. He's like a guard.
Right.
So, you know, he has that same sort of function in the MCU and in the comics.
He's the guard of the Bridge of Asgard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I'm glad we established all that.
Yes. Norse mythology is fun. Read it.
Yeah. Give me some Ant-Man now. I'm done with Ant-Man. Norse. Yeah.
We have an official synopsis for Ant-Man now. They're confirming what's been rumored for a while, that this is going to be a heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that.
Did you guys see some of the little scenes that they put in the 75?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome to get all those little snippets. Ant-Man was in there. If you haven't seen it, go ahead.
I still think that's the test movie for Marvel. If this rocks, it's like,
One survives.
Yeah. As much as I'm giving this movie all sorts of crap, and as much as this is not the one that I'm really looking forward to over the next few years, they started showing the clip and I started screaming. So I'm so easy to please.
Oh, I can't wait to see this one for a way different reason.
Yeah. And we're all anxious. How's this going to turn out? Of course, we're all anxious about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. But of course, that had a different flair to it from the beginning. I mean, a raccoon with machine guns. I mean, come on.
How can you go
wrong?
What's
not to love?
I know.
A raccoon in a tree.
Speaking of which, my little Pop Funko Rocket Raccoon is sitting on my desk.
Oh! We need a pick. We need a cool pick.
I will send a pick of Rocket and Bucky and Arya. So.
Awesome.
Nice. Yes, I need more. My husband hates them and I need more.
I got a little Pop Funko Flash for Christmas already. Aww.
I went to the mall today to pick up some of my Hallmark ornaments for the year. And I usually don't do characters. I usually do ships or cars or vehicles or something like that. I saw Captain America and I was like, oh, totally got to get that one. So I picked it up.
Well, but if you get a Groot and you put it in a tree, there's something like kind of meta that I like in that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't seen any Groot ornaments though.
Oh. You know they're out there.
Baby Groot in the pot.
A Groot Christmas tree would be
so
even
cute.
Better.
Oh, Groot Christmas tree. Oh, yeah.
A Christmas Groot.
That's awesome.
Somebody has to think about that somewhere in a creative department. Come on.
This is the first time I've ever heard mention
one.
Of that. Yeah.
I am going to
Groot
make a
Christmas tree.
I'm going to make a Christmas Groot. It's going to sit in my house and my cats are going to eat it.
That sounds fair.
At least there will be smaller, tiny little twig branches for them to chew on.
Yeah, true.
Chew on and crap out and cause more trouble for me.
Yeah. So moving from the MCU to the small, immediate, on-demand screen, we have some Daredevil.
Yes, Steven DeKnight, who is the showrunner for Daredevil, as well as Spartacus, yay, answered some questions on Twitter. And these are all gathered in one place on Oh No, They Didn't. So, let's see, there was things like, who's going to be playing Bullseye in the Marvel Netflix Daredevil? No one. I'm trying to answer non-spoilery questions, but there's a whole bunch of questions here on the link we'll provide. When can we expect a trailer? No idea, but the show is pretty damn awesome. Is the action going to be as graphic as Spartacus? No, it's not R/NC-17, but it will be gritty. Apparently, Vincent D'Onofrio is absolutely breathtaking as Wilson Fisk. And classic films used as inspiration for the new series include French Connection and Dog Day Afternoon. There's a lot more questions,
How many episodes are we going to get?
I don't know.
12, 13.
Do we know how long they're going to be? Is it going to be the standard?
My guess is an hour per episode.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm guessing like 10 or 13.
13 is what they've been doing for their other shows.
Well, yeah. Then that's probably going to be that. I can't wait for this show.
Oh, my God, I know.
Because even... I know everybody hates the movie. If you watch the director's cut,
I actually don't mind the movie. I like
it. I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
So much more sense.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen the director's cut.
If you can get the director's cut in a bin at Walmart for $5, you can probably find that.
It's totally worth $5, yes.
It totally works for $5.
I actually like the movie.
Yeah, me too. There's part that bugs me a little bit here and there, but I never had hate for that movie the way people seem to.
Colin Farrell is fun, and Michael Clark Duncan was really, really good as the Kingpin.
Hmm. And Ben Affleck was serviceable, so that
was serviceable.
Okay. Yeah, it was not in his A day at this point. He was in his days like, I can make money.
Plus, I got to respect his reasoning for doing it, which was apparently, this is the closest I'm going to get to make Frank Miller's Batman. Dark Knight. And then he got to be Batman.
Yeah, you didn't know that would happen. But hey, sometimes things spin off from anywhere and you don't know.
I saw a picture of Ben Affleck in a Superman costume. They tweeted or somebody put out there before Halloween and they said he was going to go as Superman for Halloween.
Yeah, because he did a movie about Superman. He played...
Oh, yeah. He was George Reeves.
Yeah, exactly.
In Hollywoodland.
Oh. So he probably just took that costume out.
You think they let him keep it?
On Hollywoodland, yes. On Batman Superman, he wanted...
Oh, God, no. They wouldn't let him keep that one.
Well, no. They were okay with it, but...
He had to pay for it.
They asked for a $10,000... deposit before he left with it.
I would have paid for it personally.
I think he did.
Right.
Yeah. Because he did a children thing. So anyway.
So while we're talking about the Netflix shows, have any of you guys seen any plans on when they're planning to release the other series?
No.
I know they're working on casting for, I think, at least the Jessica Jones one.
Yeah, the next one is the Jessica Jones one. So
are they planning on doing like one a year or sprinkling all five out over 2 years or?
I don't know.
I think they're planning to release Daredevil and see what happens. And then plan more accordingly. The same way that they had planned when they started all that, Iron Man and the Hulk, and say, okay, we'll see what works. And
if they don't release Jessica Jones, I'm going to hurt somebody. That's all I'm saying.
No, I think Jessica Jones is
waited too long for this.
It's a valid question because if you take a look at the release schedule, you've got two TV shows going year-round right now between Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know if they're going to do any more of Agent Carter after this year.
Oh, just an 8-episode special event?
Right, that's why it's an event.
Dang. Yeah. Dang it. She deserves a full series. That's going to be awesome.
They're going to see how much they're going to sell. If they sell a lot, they're going to do
it. Right. I mean, if it gets like awesome numbers, then they'll do another special event next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe that's not going to be Agent Carter at that point. Maybe that's going to be something with Ant-Man.
Oh, Ant-Man.
Maybe we'll get Janet Van Dyne.
Ooh. Maybe.
See, I'm looking on the bright side.
It'll be her funeral.
Oh, my God. Why did you say that?
I couldn't help it.
Here I was going on about looking on the bright side. You got to bring it down.
I'm here.
All right, Wing, bring us back up.
Okay, I was talking a little bit earlier about spinoff that comes from everywhere. Looks like Fox is doing a Gambit spinoff of a character that we haven't seen in I don't know how many movies that they retconned the last movie with a new actor. So basically, they're doing a Gambit movie and they have people to write it. And I'm kind of ambivalent because they got the guy who penned RoboCop last year. RoboCop was not bad. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I liked it.
They did a good job, but that does not bring me the same kind of confidence that the kind of the real Marvel project are doing versus the Fox universe. So I'm kind of a little bit on the edge. On the other end, they say that they're going to give a lot of creative decision to the entourage of Channing Tatum that they hired to play Gambit. So what that could do... Think about it. They have done Magic Mike before, which is a really good movie. Forget all the jokes that you can go with that. It's a really good movie and they did a really great job with that. So if they can bring that kind of talent to a Gambit movie, that would be great. Okay, girls, now make the joke.
My mom calls that movie Mighty Mike. She's like, we're going to go see Mighty Mike again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you can make the Magic Mike Gambit joke. It's okay.
I haven't seen Magic Mike, so...
There's some really, really good looking guys in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen trailers for it, so...
And then they had to like put a plot in it and, you know, whatever.
Why? But, good.
Geez.
You know, 20 years ago, there was enough time to see everything because there wasn't that much stuff out, right? There was a movie every month or every quarter or whatever that you'd go out and want to see. There was maybe a couple TV shows on any given year that you'd want to see. Now, there's something on every night, sometimes multiple things on every night. There's a different movie out almost every week, and next year it will be every week. And we're actually, for the next 2 years, every week that there'll be something to go see. It's impossible to see all this stuff. And even with Netflix, even with the instant availability of stuff long after it's been out, still, we kid about it all the time. Oh, you haven't seen this? Oh, you haven't seen it? It's not because we don't want to. It's just there's so much stuff out there. There's so little time to see it all.
Except for Ailey. She just doesn't want to.
I want to. I just don't have time. I have like this? 50 years of Doctor Who left and then 100 years worth of comics.
Yeah, but that's the undertaking that you go through. You know, the guys on Legends are always bitching like, oh, you're not watching The Walking Dead at the same speed we are. Dude, you're not watching this at the same speed we are. No, I like to watch a season. You like to have a universe of 50 years to go through.
I know, less than 50 years. It's not even worth my time. Jeez.
If there is not the Everest in front of me, I'm not even bothering.
All right. So something else that we probably won't be bothered with, unfortunately. It's a Black Widow movie. Now, Nathan Edmondson, who is, I guess he's currently the writer of the Black Widow comic.
Yes, it's a very good comic.
Yeah. So he has come up with, I don't know what to call it. I'll call it a treatment, but it's just 6 pages of a screenplay for a Black Widow movie. I doubt it will actually evolve into a movie, but at least it's out there and it looks pretty cool. So yeah, there's always hope.
Yeah, he's also written a bunch of other scripts, and I can't remember any of them right now, but so this is a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. But I think this came about because it's like a Twitter conversation, and I can't remember who he was talking to. But then he was like, oh, yeah, well, watch this. Look how easy it is. Puts out 6 pages, puts it on his own personal website, links to it on Twitter, and says, okay, your turn, Hollywood.
That's kind of nice.
Honestly, the nail in the coffin for a Black Widow movie was probably the Captain Marvel movie, because I can't see them wanting to have two female-led franchises.
Why can't we have both?
Exactly. My opinion, but I don't fund Hollywood movies.
You want my point of view why we got a Captain Marvel movie instead of a Black Widow? The paycheck they have to give her.
Yeah, maybe. We also still don't know who's going to be alive at the end of Avengers 2 and who's not. We don't know.
I still think Hawkeye is dead.
I think at this point, if she hasn't gotten her own movie yet, then she's not going to.
No, she's not going to. Not with
the time to give her own movie would have been after Avengers 1, before Avengers 2.
Yeah, unfortunately.
She might be more influential, like Hawkeye, for instance, or Hulk, being in a bunch of different movies and not just one singular movie, too.
I really liked her in Captain America 2, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So did I, but I would still love to see a movie that's actually about her instead of her supporting someone else's story.
Hmm. I agree.
Yeah, but she's really good at that. I'm sorry.
She's really good at the other thing, too. They just won't let her do it.
Yeah, she has like a seriously interesting backstory, which it looks like we might get a hint of, at least, in Avengers 2, judging by the trailer.
Yeah, but Marvel doesn't want to go backward if it's not like super backward. They don't want to do the Black Widow movie that happened just before Avengers.
Which is why you could bring elements from that past into it.
Right. Some villain from her past is attacking now.
Like, they could bring, like, Yelena Belova into it.
Yeah, but my point is that right now in the future, they're going cosmic. They're going all out. We started super grounded, and now we're going all out. The same way all comics finally go. So this is not anymore in the kind of plan that they have.
Actually, what I think is going to happen is they're going to have like this big, huge cosmic disaster event with the end of the Infinity Gauntlet story. And then the next thing is going to be, oh, also, there's still these small threats we have to deal with day to day, too. Because once you go that big, what are you going to do? Go bigger? No, you got to take a step back.
You reboot. You do a crisis or
something.
This is not DC.
They don't have to reboot every time.
You can reboot every 5 years. It's great.
I think the last reboot Marvel did was Hulk. I think they're done.
No, see, what DC does is whenever their backstory gets too convoluted, they're just like, oh, we're just going to start over.
Right.
Every 7 to 10 years, there's a crisis.
Oh, I love DC. You know what else I love?
What do you love?
I love some Agent Carter, especially after the clip that came out.
Oh, we got like a whole scene. And it very heavily implies that Haley Atwell's Agent Carter kicked some serious ass right before this happened. Like she beat up on Jarvis.
I think she did. Jarvis has a concussion.
Then you see a nice little scene between her and Howard Stark. And then you see her beat up on a guy.
It was pretty amazing.
It was. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait for more stuff to come out. Hopefully we'll get another teaser trailer before this special event starts in January, but we'll see.
Hopefully this one's not going to leak because that's going to cost money to somebody somewhere.
You know what? I would not be surprised if the first episode leaked like a month ahead of time.
Maybe, but...
But look at what happened with the guys from the Age of Ultron. They're trying to get information from Google to sue because it was part of a quote-unquote bigger business plan, and this is costing them money.
Right. They were planning to have a big reveal during an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that would have boosted the ratings there.
Yeah. So,
and then they didn't have that moment anymore.
So they're trying to sue. They're trying to find who that did that and sue.
Disney gotta sue somebody.
Yep. That's exactly what's happening.
I had been wondering if it was actually a PR ploy that it was quote-unquote leaked and they did the damn it Hydra and stuff like that, and that was all supposed to be part of the show, so to speak.
See, I figured it wasn't since they were pulling it down so quickly every time it popped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now somebody is going to do that at some point.
What do you mean?
Now somebody's going to fake leak it and bring it down.
I mean, that happens all the time, is fake leaking it. But in this case, they really did want to reveal it during their own TV show. Get that cross-marketing.
And I could see that because the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ratings could use a little boost live. So, I could see that.
They can use a little boost live? Yeah. What was their +7 number last time? I heard that was pretty good.
Usually, they go up by at least 50% when you throw in DVR numbers.
Yeah. So, it's in the 2-3 realm for the +7. Over what, you know, they've been flirting with the 4.5 to 5.5 and then a 2-3 bump afterwards. So we'll see. We haven't had the +7 numbers in a couple of weeks. So we'll get that to everybody next week. But we also have news on another type of crossover.
Yes. So have any of y'all watched or read Attack on Titan?
I have not.
Just me then?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, Attack on Titan is an anime / manga about this society where people live behind this giant wall because these giant naked people come in and eat people every so often. And so their defense force, you know, shoots around like Spider-Man to try and get to their secret magical weak spot and kill them. It's actually a really good series. Lots of people die. And well, an image was put out online sometime last week that showed Spider-Man running away from two Titans. And as it turns out, the senior VP at Marvel Comics, C.B. Cebulski, has announced that there will be an Attack on Titan Marvel Comics crossover. C.B. Cebulski, by the way, has done a lot of what-if stories and all that stuff. He's done Marvel Fairy Tales, X-Men Fairy Tales. I have a couple of those. And he really seems to like crossovers of this nature. There's an interview with him that we're linking to, and he's talking about it on his Twitter. And he started reading the series, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool? So I guess we'll see. I mean, it kind of fits to have Spider-Man doing this, I guess, if you were going to have anyone do it, considering how the Rangers from Attack on Titan attack with their kind of parachuting and it's kind of swinging around like Spider-Man does on his webs. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. It's obviously not going to be canon. I assume it's not going to be canon.
Probably not, because that would mess up the universe like big time.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they could come through a dimensional rift. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, you see, you can write for Marvel Comics.
I could. I could write for Marvel Comics.
The last crossover that I saw that I was half interested in, and I just don't have the heart to go into it, is the Robotech Voltron crossover. And I'm like, I don't know.
As somebody who has written an A Song of Ice and Fire and X-Men crossover, I could write for Marvel Comics.
Well, okay, you've heard it here, folks. Marvel, give her a call. She's available. Agent Lauren.
I am, yes.
For a Game of Thrones crossover?
Yes. Okay. Well, A Song of Ice and Fire was the books.
Okay. With Wolverine? Okay.
X-Men First Class, actually.
Ooh. I could actually see that happening. I mean, that makes sense in my mind.
Yeah, I can see Magneto in this time. He would have a blast. Oh, an army. Okay, dead.
I know. Next. It's no different than the Asgardians coming down to Earth. I mean, it'd be the same sort of...
It was the Stark kids going into 1960, whatever.
Meh. Well, we actually have premiere dates now. We had been scratching our heads over exactly when stuff would be coming out, but Agent Carter is going to be premiering its 8-episode event on Tuesday, January 6th in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. time slot at 9 p.m. on ABC. And upon conclusion of the 8-episode event run, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will return and run the remainder of its season beginning March 3rd. And from what we've heard, there will not be any breaks. However, there are any big special events like, I don't know, Super Bowl or something that happens to coincide with it, it might get bumped. So I don't think that'll happen since the Super Bowl will, I think, be in January, but there might be something else comes up. We don't know, but I don't see this stopping. I think it's going to be March 3rd until the end. So that will be awesome. Also, we talked about it a little bit before about an all-female led movie. Solo, but there's a
Sony
rumor.
Sony really wants to keep Spider-Man. They really hang on to that a lot.
Right. We'd heard the rumor that they were going to do a 2017 female-led Spider-Man universe movie. And now the rumor is that it's going to be a whole team of female spider superheroes.
I wonder how much of this is actually just posturing in their negotiations with Marvel over the rights.
I wonder how much of this is just fan rumor mongering.
That could be too.
Because this doesn't even seem like a realistic idea for a movie. Because it's all these characters that are tied to Spider-Man stories, kind of, but aren't really related to each other in any way. You've got Black Cat.
Spider-Gwen movie, come on.
Black Cat, Silver Sable, Silk, and Spider-Girl.
Oh, God.
But okay, I don't see this movie happening.
That would be cool if they did Spider-Gwen. If they kept, like, Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
She comes back through the riff and oh my God, Spider-Man.
Or if they do it and just like don't address it at all.
Just pretend like it never happened.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Way to go, Sony.
They just need to develop something to keep the right at this point, and I think that's what they're doing, because I see the old slate. When we look at the old comic book live that we're going to have now with the movies, you look at the Sony one and you're like, yeah. Your Sinister Six movie, there's no casting yet, and that's next year. Okay, sure.
It's going to be like a bunch of little paper cutouts of people, and they're just going to hold it up in front of the screen.
Like it's going to be the Fantastic Four all over again. I was
just
going
to
say,
just like the Fantastic Four. So, to round out our news, though, and we had reported on this, or commentated on this, actually, last summer sometime, Stan Lee was in a legal fight with his namesake company, Stan Lee Media, over Spider-Man rights, and he actually got a decision.
Yeah, okay. So this is all on Hollywood Reporter, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that... So I've reread this article like 3 times. I'm not a legal expert.
Right.
But basically, Stan Lee Media Incorporated does not have the rights to characters such as the X-Men, the Incredible Hulk, Iron Man. Wait, no, that was previous. This one's about Spider-Man.
Yeah, basically what's happening is that the rights of Spider-Man's were in limbo and the company went bankrupt. And after the movie started making money, they started saying, oh, that's ours, that's ours, that's ours. Right now, the decision is like, well, you waited like 5 to 6 years to do anything and you didn't publish anywhere that you had the right. You didn't put that in any document about your company or anything like that. So you have no rights.
Well, wasn't Stan Lee Media the company that Stan Lee made after he left Marvel?
Yes. Yeah, that screwed him
over.
And
he used it to create new stuff.
Yeah, but that screwed him over. And then he created like POW Media or something like that.
Yeah, but you know, he sold the Stan Lee Media company. Since then, they've just been trying to say they have the rights to anything Stan Lee ever made.
Yeah, that's basically what the judge says at this point and say, like, stop suing.
Like, every year you see that they're in another lawsuit trying to claim rights to something. Oh, we deserve the big chunk of money from these movies.
Yeah.
Because we have Stan Lee's name on our company.
And they alluded to it a little bit in the 75 years special that there was in the late 90s, early 2000s, Marvel went bankrupt. And there was all sorts of issues going on. That's when Stan Lee created the media company because he wanted to continue going on with something. And then when Marvel was able to resurrect themselves and create Marvel Studios and become the success that they are today, then all those plans didn't have to happen. So it's not really, well, I haven't seen a good history on it right now. And not being a comic book guy my whole life, I wasn't, you know, paying attention when this was happening.
I read the Stan Lee biography.
Yeah.
And basically what happened is that at the end of the 80s, they didn't know what to do with Stan Lee anymore. Stan Lee was a big name and they were like, okay, what do we do? We're going to make him like big boss. And they made him president of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Lee is a writer. He's not a manager.
Right.
He basically ran the company to the ground.
Yeah.
What happened from that point is that Avi Arad went with the rights and started selling rights for TV shows and stuff like that. That's when we got the super good Spider-Man animated and the X-Men, X-Men and all that in the 90s.
All of the other mediocre ones.
Yes.
Those two were good. Those two were good.
And then what he tried to do is to reclaim all the rights that were sold to like Canon and stuff like that, that we got the super bad Captain America movie and Punisher and all that. The first thing he did was to do the Blade thing. Then he got the X-Men and got the company bankrolled again. The big change that saved Marvel is that they were bought by a company called Toy Biz that was a toy company, and they basically mixed toy with comic.
Mm.
And that's what saved the company. At this point, Stan Lee got fired in the 90s, and then he started his own company to do his own stuff. That company screwed him over, and he started another one to do that again.
Okay.
I think that's a good transition to what we watched this week.
I know.
It actually really is.
Yeah, Marvel 78.5 years from pulp to pop. Lauren, what's your take?
Okay, it was a nice little beginner's crash course with some good graphics and some nice talking heads. I have to agree with some people on Twitter who said that, yeah, you would need like a lot longer time to go really deep into it.
Yeah.
And I do agree. There's some really good documentaries that you can find about the history of comics that goes much deeper into the history of all comics, but they do a pretty good look at Marvel, and they do go deeper into what Wing was talking about. But
many extras of many of your Marvel DVDs,
yeah.
You have a bit of all of that.
Yeah.
Or you could just read all of the Marvel comic books.
Or you could just read all the comics, but that doesn't really give you like a look at the history of the company.
75 years of comic, Haley.
Yeah.
75 years.
Wimps.
But for people who are new to the whole, you
like
know,
me.
People who have just been introduced to it through like the MCU mm-hmm. or through the TV show or who are young, you know, stuff like that, I think this was a pretty good start.
It was for me because, of course, I'm not the big comic guy. But also, I will say that I mentioned this before, there were 39 different talking heads during this entire thing, including the host, narrator, whatever you want to call Emily Van Camp. Awesome, I call her. She's even so awesome that I don't mind her touching Lola. And so you had all these people that were integral into each individual piece of Marvel, you know, the overall company, the comic book era, or the comic book part of the company, the TV universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then other people were brought in. And then, you know, I was thinking throughout this entire thing, you know, there's so many people in here, but there's no Chris Hardwick. But guess what? There was. There was a little snippet of a scene. He didn't talk, but there was a little snippet of a scene where he's on the podium at Comic-Con right next to Kevin Feige as he's introducing Guardians of the Galaxy. So Chris Hardwick was still in this.
Yeah, but they had Howard the Duck and was like, what? What? Why did they get Seth Green? He had a tiny bit part.
Because he was free and he was like, hey, can I talk about it?
Yeah, probably. Okay, good point.
Because they did want Chris Hardwick.
Because Chris Hardwick was not free. He was busy.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick has like, yeah, Chris Hardwick has a time turner.
Yeah, it's just now that I see like Seth Green and Marvel together and I think Howard the Duck. So it's forever
associated in your mind.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, no.
But it was a good crash course for me. I did enjoy it, and I did understand why basically the current run of Marvel Comics started in 1961 with Fantastic Four, which I've read that, and awesome. I now understand why that is a good starting point if you're doing the 50-year Haley plan.
Right. And then you can go back and pick up those other 25 years later.
Right. Well, the only one I think I'd be interested would be Captain America. Matter of fact, I might go find that Captain America number one and read it with the Captain America hitting Hitler. That was awesome.
Sucking old Adolf on the jaw.
Yeah. But it was a good synopsis for me. Now I understand. Now I have a good basis for doing the stuff that we're doing here, or just enjoying everything. Like, okay, I understand the secret wars are going on now. I understand why Civil War was when it was, because of post 9/11 events. And I understand who was in charge when, Jim Shooter was in there, this Stan Lee, as we just talked about. So stuff like that. So I enjoyed it, but I'm coming at it from a different perspective than you all. So Haley, what was your take on it?
I mean, I kind of actually had known some of the stuff. I watched a Stan Lee biopic not too long ago on Netflix. And so you'd seen a lot of this stuff directly from his perspective. And then what I know from reading the comics and seeing how they've evolved just in the 10 years I've read of them so far. But it was really interesting to see them put all of this in the context that they did.
I thought it was really well produced, meaning all these people were interviewed probably in 15 minute to an hour, maybe 2 hour long interviews, and their conversation just flowed bang, 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 like it was one long script almost. So I did enjoy the production value behind it.
Yes, it was very well done.
Something, I was watching it with my husband, who likes Marvel, not nearly as much as I do, but he likes Marvel. And he liked that whenever they would show a comic or something, they kind of brought it into the way that they do like the motion comics.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was. I did. They did a couple of pans in and outs between the comics and Captain America.
Right. Or like the Wolverine one where his claws kind of glistened and moved a little bit.
Yeah. At some point, has anybody done a run of Marvel's current beginning that they run at the beginning of movies and stuff and see what actual comics are behind there that they're flipping through? You know what I'm talking about when they bring up?
Yeah, I know somebody tried for I forget which one it was recently, but everyone was so sure that it meant that, I forget what it was, but everyone was so sure that it meant that some character or other was going to show up in something, and it turned out not to be it. They used to change it. I remember I was watching some documentary, and they were talking about, I forget who it was. But the guy who did the original title of that for X-Men went in and got all those panels individually. And he used, over 100 panels or something like that, and just shot it all by hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
I cannot remember for the life of me who it was right now, but it's a special effects guy that I really respect.
Hmm.
And I can't remember which documentary it was on either.
If anybody knows, let us know. Otherwise, we'll have to look into it.
I think it was some documentary about superhero movies on Netflix or something.
Wing, what's your take, buddy?
Well, I'll be honest. I was starting in comic book, not starting, but being in my A-day of comic book when all these Marvel things started, and there was a lot of documentaries. So for me, that was kind of redundant a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I was watching this and I was like, there is no new information, but the best part is the interview about the Lost of Innocence. And you have the little guy, kid being like, yeah, I read a comic book once and I puke. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay, this is just funny now. It's crazy happened.
I kind of love that whole section, whatever, of history where people were just trying to crack down on all this immorality in comics and in books and in movies. And just to see people so up in arms about all this. And right at the time that the Seduction of the Innocent or whatever that book's title was, the guy who, oh my God, if y'all have never heard of this, you have to look into this. This was one of the things that caused the comic code to be put into place. It was this guy who wrote this book. Okay. It wasn't an essay. It was an actual book. About how Batman and Robin were actually sleeping together. And this was...
it was the first slash fic.
Yes. And it was like seducing young children into this horrible, immoral lifestyle.
Yeah, it changed the face of comic book in the 50s. Did. That's it why did, they right? went to space and they went to Alien and the Batgirl and Batwoman and all these things started to happen.
It's funny because I started reading comics from the 60s, which is after the implementation of the comic code. And then I went back and read that first Marvel comic, Timely comic from 1939 or whatever. And it's like, they just straight up kill bad guys a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
They just didn't do that in the 60s. Like, everyone got knocked out and then went to jail for a little while. But no, they straight up murdered some bad dudes.
Yeah, they mentioned it in the episode or in the special here. Frederick Wertham, and I believe the book is called Seduction of the Innocent.
It is.
Frack that guy.
Seriously, look this up. It's hilarious. And then go to superdickery.com and look up, what is it? It's like Batman's Boners.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, I don't want to look up Batman Boners.
No. Boners used to be a slang term back in the day that meant mistake. So right. You will see the Joker just going on and on and on about how Batman, what was it? It's like Batman's boner is...
It's like a bonehead mistake.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a scene from like the 70s, I think, between Cap and Iron Man.
Oh my God,
and he's like,
that one's so
I'm
going to
talk straight dick with you now.
Yes. Yep.
Oh my God, I love old slang.
That's awesome.
Yeah, those were the days.
And that's how languages evolve, kids.
Oh my God. The point is, there's a lot of things that are interesting in there if you start.
The point
start.
Is, history is fantastic.
Yes, exactly. But if you start and discovering the Marvel Universe, it's really interesting. If you have already did the discovery, this is kind of a fun refresh because there's new people talking and everything. But the thing I would the most recommend, it was a DVD that came out maybe in 2005, 2006 that was called Mutant Marvel and Monsters. That was Kevin yes. Smith interviewing Stan Lee, which you get most of the same history that you have there, but from Stan Lee straight. So that's kind of an interesting, different perspective and an interesting perspective because Stan Lee is not that politicized. So it become a really personal perspective more than in something that we saw this week that put things in relation about political events and stuff like that.
I did get the sense through this how important Stan Lee really was to the company over the years. He was there.
He created Marvel Comics.
Yeah, he was basically there kind of from the start. I mean, not...
Right, he started out during the Golden Age. He worked for Marvel, but he wrote everything from 1960 to probably 1965. Like, everything was written by Stan Lee.
Yeah, what
he was
really
trying to get
into...
fired. Come on.
Is how few people were working there in those first days. It was like him and like three artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is how the Marvel method was developed. It was because he didn't have time to write scripts for everything. So he was like, okay, this is my idea. Draw the stuff and then I'll write in the dialogue later.
Yeah.
Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Stan Lee.
There was one more artist too.
Yeah. Shoot.
Martin Goodman was the overall guy. Joe Simon, Everett.
Ditko, Kirby.
No.
But that's why these guys became co-creator of characters and stuff like that, because they were co-creating.
Was it Everett, maybe? I don't remember.
It was Johnny. It was a three-name thing. He had a nickname in the middle there, like Johnny.
Oh, Johnny Ring-a-Ding Romita.
Oh, John Romita.
Yeah. John Romita. Shoot. John Romita, yeah. Senior?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senior, yes. John Romita Jr. still works for Marvel, and I can't stand his art style.
No, he does not.
He doesn't anymore?
He works for DC.
Oh, okay, good. Because I could not understand his art style.
That was a big move because that was the legacy. He was going to draw Superman, and that was the first time that a Romita was working for DC. That was like, woo.
Okay.
Shame and dishonor on his family.
He's doing good, Superman. So.
DC is welcome to it because I seriously just, whenever he tries to draw foreshortening, like, you know, somebody flying at you, they just look stumpy and weird, and I can't stand his faces. I just, I have very strong opinions about John Romita Jr.'s art.
You know, funny you should mention faces, because Jack Kirby could not draw a human face for the longest time.
They all look like potatoes.
It's weird, because like his monsters are amazing.
Very surprised potatoes.
So since you're all steeped in the lore a lot more than me, and they just kind of glanced over it or mentioned it, because that's all they had time for of everything in here. But I guess Joan Lee, Stan's wife, or Lieber, whatever their name actually was.
Yeah.
She forced Stan, or suggested to Stan, to actually write the stories the way he did. And that's what Fantastic Four, number one in 1961, came out as. Is that a true story?
The story from Stan Lee is that he had enough to work in comics. He wanted to write books and stuff like that to change his social status.
Write books and write movie scripts and things like that.
Yeah, so he went to his wife and talked about that, and he was like, I have these ideas. He's like, if you don't care, whatever if they fire you, write whatever you want. And that's when all this started.
Yeah.
Because he created the Fantastic Four thinking he would get fired.
Yeah. And even into the 60s, they were still putting out the horror anthologies. But what they would do is they'd put half the book would be a superhero story. And then there would be two backup stories that were like Twilight episodes or something like that.
I have noticed that. Yeah.
Which I've read some of those and they were not good.
No.
I can understand why the comic industry was dying in the 50s because they're pretty terrible and repetitive.
Well, fair. you're a trooper. I would never go through this stuff.
I quit reading those backup stories and started to just read the superhero stuff.
Mm. Even in the new stuff, sometimes I try them, the backup stories. Some are really good. At some point, there was Batman Black and White at the end of the Batman run, which was awesome. Other times, it's like, okay, you're trying an artist or something, but this is just not working. Oh, no.
That's how a lot of the Inhumans backstory was created, was in backup stories to Thor.
Yep.
Oh, the A-days of comic.
They said that the Fantastic Four was, you know, the first superhero comics, and then these others came later, including Ant-Man. Actually, Hank Pym was introduced in an anthology before the Fantastic Four.
I have read that.
Are you serious? Wow, I didn't know
it. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the first official Marvel character, not Golden Age.
Oh.
But it wasn't really a superhero story. It was kind of like a mad scientist lab accident story. And then later they're like, hey, we want to make another superhero. What if we grab this guy from this story back here?
Yeah, I've been reading off the, what is it, the CMRO order? The
Complete Marvel Reading Order.
Yeah, and in that order, you read Fantastic Four first, and then you go back and you read that Hank Pym story. So I have read it, but I didn't read it before Fantastic Four.
I didn't either.
So I got a question for you guys. What do you think is the most influential comic book movie? And I'll give you three choices. And if I'm wrong on all three, then you can take your own path. But I will go Superman, what is it, 1978 Superman with Christopher Reeve?
Superman the movie.
Yeah. Or the Batman 1989. Or Iron Man 2008.
I think the other one you'd have to throw in there would be Spider-Man. Whenever that first one was,
no,
99?
I think that would be X-Men.
I would agree.
Which one came out first? Was it X-Men or Spider-Man?
X-Men. The order is
2000.
The order is Blade, X-Men, and Spider-Man. They went from a small character to, okay, can we do an ensemble? Okay, yes. Can we do Spider-Man? Yes. And then they went, can we do Daredevil? No.
So we cannot.
Okay, so the question still stands. What do you think is the most influential comic book movie?
I think it would be the X-Men movie, the one you didn't list.
Okay. Wing?
I think that would be Batman 1989.
Okay.
I would have to agree there.
That's the one that brought, like, okay, Superman was nice, but that was all happy. That was comic book, and they ran it to the ground as comic book. Batman came in and made it super serious. And by the time they ran it to the ground, somebody else was doing something serious and picking up from these first movies. Mm-hmm. So I would say that they changed the view of Hollywood to comic book movies, and Hollywood started to be interested. Because let's not forget that in 1995, we almost got a James Cameron Spider-Man movie. Instead, he decided to do that boat movie that got some Oscars. But we almost got that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of all these movies. I don't hate any. Matter of fact, that's my favorite Batman movie, would be the 1989 Michael Keaton movie. But Superman the movie,
I would almost agree.
Yeah, right. Superman the movie, I'm a fan of. I'm also a fan of the X-Men, original X-Men movie. Not so, you know, that was kind of a...
It's kind of dated now.
Yeah. But my favorite would definitely be the Iron Man 2008. And maybe it's just because technology finally caught up to everything and we were able to get a superhero movie the way that we should have seen it.
Right. If you're talking about the one that I still like to watch the most, then yeah, that's probably it.
But you said the question was the most influential.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Why do you think Iron Man was influential? Because if you're talking about special effect, I would go back to Spider-Man. At Spider-Man, we were done. We were there.
I think Iron Man is more universal, personally.
Iron Man brought about the whole Marvel age type of, you know, the cinematic universe and all. But I would agree with Wing that Batman, the 89 Batman, brought such a wide range of people to the movies that it made people realize, hey, superheroes might not be for kids anymore, or just for kids.
Without 89 Batman, there's not a bank that gives a penny to Marvel to make Iron Man.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole reason I brought this up is at the end of this intermentary, or whatever you want to call it, 75 years from Pulp to Pop, they do heavily rely on two things. One is the success of Iron Man in 2008, and the other one was the sale to Disney, and the fact that the combination of the two companies make an infinity universe possible.
Well, of course they're talking about that because they're on ABC and it's promoting the Marvel Universe. If you want a really good documentary about comics as a whole, and it's a little dated by now because it's from 2003, it's called Comic Book Superheroes Unmasked. And it used to be on Netflix. I don't think it is anymore. You'll have to find it by other means. It might be on YouTube or something. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Comic Book Superheroes Unmasked. It has a lot of the same people who are interviewed here, plus a bunch of DC people, mm-hmm. plus a bunch of other people.
But you know what Iron Man has as this most influential? And it's not in comic book movies. It's larger than that. It's in movies. Because what Marvel did, they changed the idea from a franchise to a universe. You're not talking about spin-off anymore. You're just talking about another character to grow your universe. Now, Universal is looking at their Universal Monster lineup saying, okay, we can link all that together. DC is like, okay, we need to catch up. Star Wars is like, wait, we can do that too. Everybody's going to do that. Mm-hmm. That is what Iron Man changed. It's not as much as in the comic book movie industry as in the movie industry.
Mm-hmm. As you were saying that, I was thinking, well, what about Star Trek? And you're absolutely right. Star Trek was a bunch of spinoffs. It wasn't one, even though it is supposed to be one continuous story, it's not. It's different stories that are intertwined throughout different breaks. What we've gotten since 2008 has been a real-time interconnected universe with Marvel. So that's awesome. And that brings me to my last point that I was going to make is we did have this conversation on Twitter between our Twitter account, the operator, and I think it was Kodiak, GWC, was the fact that DC could have pulled this off too. And yeah, we just had the Batman 75 year, right, Wing?
Yes, it is this year.
Yeah, right.
So happy Batman anniversary.
Right. And Superman was the first superhero overall, right?
I would say that wouldn't be Captain America, technically.
No, Captain America didn't come along until 1940s. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even the first Marvel superhero.
No, that was...
If you want to get technical about it, the first person to put on a mask and fight crime would probably be the Scarlet Pimpernel, but... Mm.
Yes, you're right. Okay.
My point was that DC has a long and... historied
DC past. kept their superhero. They started with Superman, Batman, and then they went with that and they kept them through the 40s, through the 50s and everything.
Except it's Marvel, different versions of them.
It is, but they kept these characters. As Marvel at some point said, okay, let's go back to other things, and then they revamped in the 60s. So it's two different history of publication right. at that point.
Really, Marvel completely started over in 1961, and then they were like, oh, hey, you know that stuff that happened in the 30s and 40s? That happened in the same universe.
Yeah,
that's what they're called Marvel.
Yay, retcons.
Yay. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what they're called Marvel. And DC, people tend to forget that it was Detective Comic.
Right.
It's the House of Batman. Come on.
Well, my point is they do have a long history and they could have put something like this together. They're not connected. We talked about it before with the TV and the movies and different actors and everything. So it's just, it wouldn't have been the same feel. It would have been more of a history lesson of what happened when and less of, hey, this is an interconnected story.
It would be really cool if DC could manage to pull this off. I really do like what they've been able to do with their TV series.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy where they're coming in, though, because I was really happy with the Batman franchise, and I'm really happy that they're not going on with that one, because I'm good where it ended. So they're kind of revamping everything, and since I'm a huge fan of Man of Steel, I'm really happy where this is going. So.
Okay, so I finally started watching Man of Steel, and then I had to leave for the last half hour, so I still haven't seen... I know how it ends, but I still haven't seen the ending.
Yeah, I am not a big fan of Man of Steel.
Yeah, you and me on DC are on opposite side of the spectrum usually. I'm a huge defender of Gal Gadot, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we differ on the Gal Gadot. We'll see how she works on the screen. We will see. And, you know, for what it's worth, I'm very glad that we got the Wonder Woman we have on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Yeah, Adrian Palicki is fantastic as Bobby Morse.
Yes, she is.
So everything happens for a reason.
I'm still kind of hoping that, I doubt this is going to happen, but Joss Whedon left the Marvel Universe to go make a Wonder Woman movie. That would just be the best thing ever.
I postulated that on Twitter the other day. But
he probably has an exclusive deal with Disney that he can't do that.
I don't know, man.
I don't think they can do that because they can't take your trade away.
No, but if he signed like a certain number of movie contract with them, then he can't go and do another movie until that contract is up.
I think he's done because we haven't heard anything for a while. And again, nobody reacted when he wasn't the director of the next Avenger movie.
Well, right, because there's so much big stuff coming out that he could be working on, but he could do a Star Wars movie and still be working on a Disney contract.
I want him to do the Captain Marvel movie.
Well, yeah, that would be awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, yes, I want him to defect to DC and become the godfather of DC comic. Yes. Yes.
To help save the sinking DC ship.
But that's not going to happen. So
I don't know. You see these guys like J.J. Abrams and Joss Whedon going back and forth and stuff. I think maybe we've entered a new era in entertainment.
Let's talk J.J. Abrams. He's not going back and forth. He's following his mentor, which is Steven Spielberg. Do you get the gig on Star Wars because you know Steven Spielberg?
All right. We'll see how it turns out, too. I have my skepticism.
The man has talent. I'm not going to take that away from him. But with talent comes contacts. And
hopefully not lens flares.
God, no. If I would see a lens flare on a lightsaber, I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to be mad.
So what else have we not talked about?
I don't know. I feel like I've been talking for a while.
I know. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot.
Yes, we have. This is an abnormally long podcast, but there was a lot of information to get across.
If you want to talk about comic book universe creation and history and stuff like that, just hit us up. As you can see,
we love to talk about it.
Yeah, no problem. That was Marvel, and we move a little bit into DC. But if you want to talk about the DC stuff, just hit me on the Starling Tribune, and I'll go all out for
you. If we're going to talk about things that aren't Marvel, we could talk about EC and how it got killed by the comics code.
Oh, yeah. EC Horror Comics.
Yeah, they were actually like the biggest publishing house, I think, at the time in the 50s.
They were.
And, yeah, the comics code just destroyed them.
It was like them and a romance comic line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it just destroyed their entire business. They went bankrupt.
Shazam was destroyed by all that because Shazam was bigger than Superman and Batman in the heyday, but then all these companies got crushed and today they're like, they're doing a Shazam movie? What?
But so, because all these companies
got
destroyed...
We're not talking about Shazam, the Shaq character, by the way. Not that one.
We're talking about... He was called Captain Marvel in the days.
And yeah, and then there's all sorts of craziness about the name and... It got very confusing there for a while.
But when Warner bought Clarkton's comic, something like that, that came with all these characters and they all rolled them into the DC universe at some point. But yeah, there was, the comic book code killed a lot of people. That's why there's only like two major house right now. And
you're starting to see the rise of some of these smaller ones like Dark Horse and Image IDW really isn't even that big.
I've actually bought a lot of Image comics because
Image has some really good comics.
And I really love their business
model.
Everybody
read Saga. Everybody read Saga right now.
Everybody. Everybody.
I do have it now.
If you like comics, you owe it to yourself.
And I'm going
to
take a minute to pimp Image's business model for digital comics. They just sell you the file. Like if you want to download it in PDF or EPUB or CBZ or whatever, they sell it to you. It's your file. You can download it. You can put it in whatever reader you want to. It's awesome.
Yep. Agreed.
Everyone take note. Do that.
Yep.
Agreed.
Yep.
And I will advocate the Surface tablet for reading comics.
To read comic, it's the perfect size. It is,
iPads
it is
are
the size
awesome too.
Of a comic.
You can actually work with more types of files with the Surface tablet, though. So,
what type of file wouldn't work with an iPad? Because I've used all of them.
Okay. Well, good. Do you guys have anything else for the week?
Yeah, I need to take a shower.
Please do.
Yes. Don't need you stinking up the joint.
Wing, you stink.
I know.
Join us next week as we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 7, The Writing on the Wall. And that'll be awesome to see the what comes of the map. We have a website, legendsofshield.com, that'll take you to all our great contact. It will also take you to the GunnaGeek.com network, where we have all sorts of other podcasts. You have three people on this podcast that are on at least seven other GunnaGeek podcasts between us. So lots of great comic content, lots of great geek content, lots of great sci-fi content. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. It is toll-free. It is international toll-free. So enjoy, use it, abuse it. We want to hear from you. We have a Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr page. Just search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will find us there. Forums. Go to forums.gunnageek.com. You know, we had a lot of great comic book talk on this episode, so just go to the forum thread from this episode, and we would love to talk to you about this stuff. Also, as I stated at the beginning, we do have the YouTube channel. Don't forget, if you have difficulty gaining access to the audio files wherever you are, like at work, maybe, we have made that available for you on YouTube. So I want to thank all of our listeners. We appreciate you guys chiming in with us. We appreciate you guys downloading the podcast and listening to us.
Right. I want to thank Adam for calling and leaving us a voicemail this week, and most weeks he does, and we really appreciate that. It's nice to hear people talking to us and asking questions and being part of the dialogue.
I would like to thank everybody who's gotten hold of us on Twitter, including the operator, Kodiak GWC, Jarek, Adana Girl, Andy Minga, and Mr. Paracletes. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it whenever y'all take the time out of your day to get a hold of us. And we love hearing from you.
Yeah, we love hearing from you guys on the Facebook page as well. This week we had comments from Sean and Richard, but we have a lot of likes on our posts that we put out. And it is awesome. Mostly just about the Marvel Universe or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in particular. But we love hearing from you guys and your feedback there as well. Until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Wing.
See you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.